Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
And we're live. So welcome, everyone, to a Coffee with Karen, cup of positivity. I haven't even got a cup of coffee today. But cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. This is a show where each week my guest tends to be a coach or a consultant, a therapist or a healer, right? And they tend to be helping others either from a mental, physical or spiritual or a combination of all three, right? So when I say sprinkling of woo-woo, if you've been listening recently, we're doing a little bit more than just a sprinkle. Ah, she's got her coffee. I'm jealous. it is a little bit more than just a sprinkling these days, because I think I started this to try and introduce people, because I think people were getting the idea that the mental and physical are connected, and it was a little bit wishy-washy with the spiritual, the woo-woo. But at the end of the day, everything is woo-woo. We just dress it up into the mental and the physical, I think. So I'm your host, Karen Roberts. I do come from the healing background, but very physically based. I am moving into the more, although I'm still unsure. So I deal with frequency, but I have a device. I'm not trusting in my own abilities. So these days I'm more about helping other coaches get their businesses up and running on track. So it's lovely for me to connect with all these wonderful people who are out there, tend to be have healed themselves and then wanted to go on to help others. I suppose that's how we all end up doing this, whatever this is. So, Jenny, if you would like to share with the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes, thank you for the introduction. It's good to be here. I'm Jenny Rebecca Lewis. I've lived all over the United States. I grew up in the Southern United States. Most of my adult life, I lived in New York City, semi-retired to LA, and now I'm back in the South. And all of that journey was really, it's kind of like coming home, you know?
Come full circle now. You've come full circle.
Come full circle, right? Yeah, I did the traditional, I was an attorney in New York for a long time. And then it got to a place where it just was all falling apart. Like the people I was managing became very difficult for me to hold. My relationship fell apart. And then it just kind of felt like I hit a ceiling, you know, for what I had gone to New York to do. And then I'd started getting into feng shui, and those sorts of things were really deeply interesting to me for some reason, and began to meditate, and then the memories of, you know, childhood traumas and all of the dharma began to come up, and I was in a really good place with a lot of support to look at that and move that and begin to move that energy through, and through that journey and meeting those people, I realized it was something that I was meant to do too. I think way back in the day, you know, you have little inklings or wishes of things, speaking of woo-woo. And I kind of always had a feeling I would be back in the South. I didn't realize it would be as quickly as it was. I thought, you know, it'd probably be another 5-10 years from now. But, you know, I moved to Venice and then then I moved to Northern California shortly, and then it was just COVID, and then right then it was just like, you're meant to go back now, you know? And so I drove cross country in May of 2020 with my little cat, and came back to the South, and it's really been a deep integrative healing experience, I think. And it's, for me, it's like, you know, there's the way I was living and I guess who I was, it's still a part of who I am now, you know, a lot of who I am, But it's like, there's that, and then there's the all of the spiritual learning, and then but then the part of integrating it and holding the, you know, the two worlds together and finding myself, you know, myself whole in that. Like, who am I? I can't go and live in Alabama. And, you know, the way people think of things is actually quite spiritual, but it's very different than the way spiritual is in California. And so it, so in the integration of that, I have to figure out who I am and what I believe. You know, is it this? Right. Is it Alabama? Is it California? Is it something totally different? And that's the place where I can actually be myself. So that that integration is, has really brought me a backbone, a spine, and an understanding of who I am.
Wow, love that. I mean, what a journey going from a very all up here mental perspective lawyer. I mean, you've got to know your stuff. I mean, that's it, not everybody can be a lawyer, right? I mean, that takes a lot of training, a lot of study, a lot of all up here. So to go from such totally different background, that must have taken quite a bit of bravery, I would presume, to go literally from one side to another. How was that part?
It's funny, I was thinking about that yesterday, maybe because of this was happening today, but it wasn't as courageous as moving back to Alabama was. I think you know, when something is just past its time, it's easy to move on from, you know.
It was the right thing. It was obviously the right thing. Like you say, it's, isn't it interesting that we you know, we get these messages, hello, when things aren't going right. It might be just a little, you know, jiggle, but something's not right. You're not in alignment with what you should be doing. There you go. And life can get harder and harder, so you weren't in sync. So I suppose maybe that journey then made it easier for you to do the bigger journey back to Alabama. Do you think that's what it was? It was like a stepping stone for you.
That may be true, actually. I think you're definitely onto something, because things started to fall apart years before I actually left. So it was, you know, I had a runway for the New York adjustment. And then there is something to what you're saying. There were other big moves that I took. And actually the actual move to Venice, the like taking all of the things out of my apartment in New York, and I had renovated it, you know, so there was, you know, I'd put a lot of myself in there, even though I knew that I would, you know, might be moving, and but just gathering my things and putting them into storage and leaving the city that I love.
And it's a big thing. So for us, obviously, over this side of the pond, you know, I don't think me, can really understand the enormity of that, because like we're a tiny, teeny, teeny, whiny little country, right? Yeah. You know, it can take us 7 hours to go from south up right up to Scotland, right? It's really no biggie. So explain what that transition just from New York over to California. I mean, how many miles is that, and how many hours did that take?
Gosh, you know, I didn't drive that one. I flew that one. That one I made very easy. You know, I had the money to make it easy on myself.
But still flying for us, again, a couple of hours, we could be in another country for you.
Yeah. You know, I lived in England for a year.
Okay.
In Nottingham. So let me think about how I can translate this.
Because that's a big move, right?
It was a huge move. It was, you know, I had traveled back and forth to LA to kind of get myself tempered, you know, but it was one of those things where you just do it. And I guess it would be, you know, to move from one end of England to the other, you can drive back, you know, if you're into that. But this one was, it was like a leaving of a particular way of being. you know, yeah. so to speak. And, you know, I'd always live by the beach, and that helped a lot.
The beach. But, yeah, I can imagine the sunshine. Everything looks a bit better, doesn't it? I imagine New York being a little bit more like London. No matter
oh yeah, so. The weather yeah. is yeah, very much so.
But so yeah, everything's always seems better on the beach, right? Everything
does. That move actually had a lot of goodies in it, you know.
Like, but it still wasn't right. So even that's quite interesting. So
yeah,
in New York, it was right. That was the right thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I thought once I got there, it would be forever. I really did. Even though I had that little inkling, you know, there was some part of me that was like, I'm going to the beach forever. But but and it's true, just to speak to the enormity of the move, when I did like close on the condo, and no, it was when I got there, I guess, not the closing. When I got there, I was in bed for like 3 days. I wasn't sick, but it was just like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, even in California, life was coming in all sorts of upturns, and I had a lot of coaches. And so I was working on a lot of like subconscious thing, beliefs and body and all sorts of things. You know, I think I had like 5 coaches there. You know, it was just like, I had this hunger for trans, you know, for this new whatever, you know, this right. butterfly state. But and so that brought a lot of life in LA, and it wasn't really like, there was a time when it was just going to the beach and eating these bacon and avocado sandwiches. There was a time when I did that a lot. But there's something in me that really had this thirst for more, thirst for like the next, whatever was the next step. I thought that would be in Venice. And then I got to a place where it was just like very clear. It was like, no, you know, you're going to move to Northern California. And that, interestingly, that was January of 2020 that I got that message. And then COVID came in. And I was in a retreat center, so I don't really have the experience that a lot of people do of it coming into their city, you know, because we were pretty isolated up there.
Right. And so then you decided that's it. No, your home was calling.
Yeah. And, you know, the trippy part is a friend of mine told me, well, there are two parts of this. I'll start with the first one. And I was there, and I was with a lot of my friends, a lot of spiritual people. And my grandfather died, not of COVID, but, you know, he was 92. So, you know, pretty much of old age. And he lived here, actually, in this house that I am sitting in right now. And you know, I was telling them about that, and they were like, you know, it was like this message, like it was just like, you may have to go back and see them. And I was just like, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's right. And so, but then I sat with it for a while, and I was like, oh no, I think it's true. And I think it's time. I think it's, you know, part of me is like, it's way too early. I think it, you know, it's supposed to be 5 years from now, you know. And, but you know, when you have that feeling, I don't know if you get it, but where it's just so uncomfortably right, you know, it's the only thing to do, and yeah. you have to do it quickly. Otherwise, it's just going to become worse,
yeah, like
louder and more uncomfortable. And the place where you are is going to, the things that you're enjoying are not going to be as enjoyable. You know, it's yeah. almost like eating past the point of hunger kind of thing.
Right. You know? Well, yeah. A lot of people won't listen to that, will they? Yeah. And maybe you wouldn't have if you were still in New York, right? You
might have heard it. Yes, you reminded me of what my friend said. She said, you got yourself to the place where you were with people who would support you in that, in the hearing of that voice, because they could hear it too, you know?
Wow, there it is. I just find it so fascinating that this seems to be the thing, and all these jobs where we are so caught up in the, there's so much to remember and think about, and we don't listen to this gut instinct, and when we're just not hearing it, you know, we can listen all we like. If we don't hear it and then act on it, it's quite, so it got that strong. But I suppose by that time you were so much more in tune with it, you were in alignment with it, that you heard it loud and clear then, girl.
Yeah, well, these were, you know, it was, I was with my teachers, and so it was, they were like, you know, I don't know that I heard it immediately, but when they said it, I could feel the resonance, and I was like, damn, you know, that is, I just sat, I was in a field, I think I was sitting outside, and I just cried and cried and cried, and I was just like, ugh, I just don't, you know, I just, what is this going to be, you know, what is this going to be?
Wow. And,
yeah.
So you've been there for how long? So when was this, 2020?
That was 2020. That was April, and I drove out. I started in May. May 5th was the beginning of my drive, and I got here about 12, 13 days later.
Right.
It's funny. I know that because this is the trippy part of my story.
Love it.
A friend of mine pointed out a piece of it, and then I followed the rest. I was in New York in a condo in Harlem for 13 years. I was in my place in Venice, the place I actually like landed in, for 13 months, and then I was in the retreat center for 13 weeks. And the drive was 12 days, but you know, for the story's sake, you have to say 13, because I just got tired at the end, and I was like, I can just do this in 12.
But that's still a bit,
was.
Well, that's definitely a little bit woo-woo, come on, you know.
It's super.
A couple of things. You know, you can about coincidence, but maybe. There was obviously a very big pulling you back. So now what do you do? So you've healed yourself. I mean, we're all on a journey, right?
Yeah, still.
There's never going to be an end to it. I would have thought, I don't know, because I'm not there yet. But for you now, then, can you share with the listeners a little bit about what do you mean your soul journey? What do you mean? What are you doing for people? How are you helping them?
You know, on some level, there's like, I had this idea, you know, I had this idea of like, I will come here and save people and teach them all these things. And that's like, so my ego, that is not what's happening here. It is, I am learning a lot. I am being deeply humbled. Whenever I go into one of these things, it's like so not binary. It's like so much not, this is wrong and now it's right. It's never that. It's like, oh, I don't know. It's like what comes to mind is like the old TV screens where the pixels were like gray and black. And like, so some of them are going to turn black and some of them are going to turn gray and some of them are going to turn white. It's just such a mashup of adjustment, you know, that I'm getting. And some of it is like my ego is so deeply humbled, and yet I so much am building confidence at the same time, you know, but not for me, you know, like not in the way that I imagined. It's more like a backbone for service and truth and like the true, just standing for the beauty of who I am. I don't have to change anyone here. I'm just available to people who come to me, is what I'm learning.
But isn't that funny? Isn't that what you did? So, you know, when you were ready, the teachers appeared. You said you had five. I mean, that is the beauty of this. And it's funny when you, you know, you talk about the, you know, the ego, the mind. And again, this all takes practice, doesn't it? Right. I know I fall into ego quite often.
Yeah,
and I have to pull myself back, Because we've been so conditioned with our childhood. Look, we're opposite sides of the planet, right? But I can imagine, the upbringing, the way the schools indoctrinate, children. We're so driven to do everything via this. We've got to think and remember and do. And it doesn't have to be like that, right? We don't have to be in control. We're not in control anyway, really.
Yeah.
That's a myth, do you not think?
Totally agree with you. And that is actually yesterday, I really am. I'm at the place where, I can have a great teacher who's helping me. And then I'm at the place where I'm getting back into work. In the busyness is kind of like what it was in New York. And there's a part of me that just wants to sit at his computer and just grind it out. And it's just not like, it just won't work. It just won't work like that. Like, I did it all day yesterday and I'm exhausted,
It's about balance though, isn't it? It's like you can't, the way I see it is like we've got to have a sort of little bit of a dance with it all, Yes, there is a time, obviously, you're a coach. Yeah. There are things that you need to do, right?
Yeah.
So there's a time for the doing and the mental work of prep and whatever. But also it's that where, I don't know about you, but I used to almost, not wear it as a badge of honour, but in a way, yes, a bit of I'm just so busy being busy.
Yeah. I'm really getting some time done today. Then I have my list and blah, blah.
And I still wouldn't get as much done because it would just, everything would take forever. Now I can have to bits, being more grounded, and weirdly you get more done and it flows and it's
so true. Yeah. And I went and last night I relaxed and then all the ideas came flowing in and I was like, damn, I should have just, I keep going back to that other thing.
Yeah. Love that. Isn't it a bit like, I'm 50 now. I just think,
I'm 52.
Oh man, why weren't we told this?
I know.
Tell me this before?
I don't think anybody knew.
So for you with what you do, or what you want to do, this is all linked to helping people with, what is it, figure out their soul journey? How do you do that? How does that happen?
I think it's interesting. I came here with a lot of ideas about coaching people, and I coached people in Venice and in New York actually right before I left, and but it feels like there's a turn that just happened. It actually took me a while it's happening in the last week or so, where it's really about, and I had to sit with that before I filled out the bio stuff this time. It's like, it really is about this this children's book, the message of the children's book, which I think just came right through me. And I wrote it at the table I'm sitting at now. It just came in an hour, and it's about remembering your soul song. And so, I had all these ideas about, I would come here and support people and healing the belief system of racism and like root it out. And, I think my perspective is unique in that I think everybody has an imprint of that that's not serving them. So I'm not biased on either side, but it's really not that mental. I think when I'm in service to here, it really is just about having people remember the beauty of their soul, and the rest will work itself out, And that's really the divine message I think I'm meant to carry.
Wonderful. And I think that's actually, that's it, isn't it? And that is imagine a world if everybody was living from that place.
Yeah. And the beautiful part of it is, it's based on African tradition, and then creating communities which remind you of that, like rather than shame you or guilt you or punish you, is like, how do you repair and support the truth of the goodness within, you know, and nurture that, you know, and have that learn and open. So it's that I think I'm here to serve.
Lovely. So is that your, what you plan on doing it through children's books? So
yeah. So what I do is right now, and I'll share with you the idea I had yesterday that came through, but right now it's reading the children's book. I created an Audible book, so it's got music to it. Music feels very important for me. I've always wanted to be create music and, I don't know, sing or something. And it's kind of trippy that that's happening because I did not study for that in any way, but I've always loved music.
Why? So why didn't you? Were you told at school that?
Yeah, it would never make you money, you know?
Wow.
I know. And so, and I end up in a place where I feel very much like an artist in the way that, you know, I am creating this coaching business. You know, it's about meeting people and there's an ebb and flow and money income and all of that. So it's a skill that I'm inevitably learning. And, but yeah, so back to the, you know, so there's music involved and then there's the artistic creation of the soul. So at the end of the children's book, the question is, what is your song? So there is, I hold events where people have canvases and they, after the reading and discussion of the book, they draw out, you know, create, paint, or draft their song, their soul song. And I've done this with kids and teenagers and a lot of adults, you know, so that they can remember the beauty of their song. They can hang it in their houses, you know, and actually some people put it together. So you can see like the beauty of the community when all these songs are together. And
wow, that's how cool is that?
Yeah,
very different.
I mean,
it is, isn't it? It's like again, I just think we've been for so long, I don't know about schools over there, so schools over here, mm-hmm. Quite a while ago they didn't do as much exercise, you know, because that's not important. You know, you're here to learn.
The bodies, yeah.
You know, right? So these kids are, you know, doing less, you know, maybe PE, I don't know what you call it over there, just physical education, right. Maybe once a week. Whereas, you know, when I was at school, you know, we did quite a bit of it. And then, and obviously art and all these other things. And yet they sort of put a stop to it. Quite a while ago, or you know, lessened it. All the importance on the other stuff, because that's all up here, isn't it? It's all mind again, ego, training the ego, and telling you that, you know, this art is, you know, that's not just a hobby, you know, it's unimportant. I just wanted to wanted to be a dancer, and it was like it's dismissed, you know, go and be an accountant. What? Like really
I totally understand
you're told you're never going to make any money out of this, so, and the same with music, so it is just such a shame. And then what's happening now, you know, the kids, what's the outcome of that? You know, the kids are struggling, they're struggling with anxiety, they've been given all these labels, you know, ADHD and this, and you think all they needed was to burn off some energy running around in their more classes. They would have come back in and sat down and probably got on with the work.
Yeah.
They just needed more. I mean, you can just see where we've all gone wrong. Is that the same way? Did they do the same thing in the States, or are things different over there?
I'm noticing that here. You know, I'm really paying attention to that. I don't have kids, so the kids that I'm seeing are just, you know, who comes to my classes. My mom was a teacher for a long time of kindergarten, and I feel like it's very similar too, you know.
Okay.
And honestly, yesterday, when I was just grinding away and just burning all my fuel, what I noticed was, you know, going to the gym and I'm a Bikram yoga teacher, but going to Bikram yoga brings me deep center where I can tune into whatever wants to come through. I know that personally. So I can imagine for kids.
No wonder they've got all
this. They have so much energy, you know,
you need to use it up. And that just does. It makes me realize, and I get that, you know, you can't be all work and no play, right? You can't be.
Yeah,
the body balance of different things. I don't consider myself to be. I don't think I'd be very creative painting wise. But then maybe because I wasn't really. Well, I think I did do art. The initial exam. I don't think I did very well.
You're a dancer.
Yeah, but again, it's funny. I was thinking about this only the other day. Funny enough that. I haven't trusted my own creativity because even as a dancer, I didn't like choreography. I didn't want to do the choreo. I didn't want to make up a dance. I wanted to be given the dance and I will learn it quickly and I'll do it. And then even going into my fitness career, I learned a routine and then went off and taught it for ages. I didn't trust my own intuition. And then along came, I don't know whether you have it over there, Les Mills is a New Zealand program, went all over the world. Again, Body Pump, they come and give you the music, give you the choreography. You literally learn everything and then go out and teach it. But it was almost like I wouldn't trust my creativity. I needed to be given the info or what I needed to do. And then I'll go and do it in my own way. But I didn't never really sort of trust my own creativity.
That's so interesting. I find the same thing to be true. It's a big deal to like blossom out into your own and hold that as valuable. I'm right in the middle of that myself.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose it is all linked to, you know, I don't know, the fear of ridicule, fear of all these, you know. So, you know, I mean, it's funny when we're aware of it, we're sort of, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working our way through it. And I suppose that's why I say we're all of us still here learning what we can learn. And whatever stage we're at, we're just, you know, we hopefully keep moving forward.
Yeah. And you know what? There's something about our expression being different than what anybody has ever seen before. Yeah. And being able to stand in that too, that's really important.
It's massive, isn't it? So it is that whole trust thing. And again, where do you think this comes from? Is this the whole, I don't know, you know, TV, I don't know, feel, you know, you've got to do things like that. And if you don't look like that, which quite obviously don't.
I never that was a tricky cut for me too, I think. But you know what? I honestly, I've been doing some study and my like deep lineage, pretty much all of my teachers are of feminine lineage, which is not feminism, it's not like about women only. It's not that. But it's more about kind of what we're talking about, like, which is why I bring it up. It's like in touch with the parts of ourselves that are feminine, even if you're a man. So it's like the emotion, it's the connection with nature, it's this idea of alignment and intuition and deeper truth, which I think got lost. I was reading this book, When God Was a Woman. It got lost in when the Western ideas came in, which was like, you know, thousands of years ago. There's a certain sense of conformity, which maybe wasn't bad. Well, I don't know. I can't say bad or good at the time, but
all these things. It's funny, isn't it? All these things have their place.
They have their
place. And then we go overboard.
Yeah, we might have gone, you know, pretty too far. And
yeah, why do we do this?
Have a little balance here. And so, yeah, I think it, I feel like it came, it came in with that, like the, I'm thinking back, the book goes so far back with this idea. I think it goes back to a certain time in Egypt, but there's a certain laying down of the law that happened that kind of slowly and carefully, you know, took away the ideas of creativity and ritual. Right. And it feels like that's just wanting to be birthed again, wanting to come back out into the world again. And, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and I hope so. I mean, I suppose, you know, if we look back then throughout all that time in history, the other way of doing things, it's not working, is it?
Yeah. It's
not, maybe it had its place for, mm-hmm. I don't know, but all this, you know, and maybe that comes from the male stereotypical, you know, again, it's the ego mind, and we all have, you know, parts of that. And I'm you know, I'm sure that's why I wear pink, just to remind myself that I'm a girl, because I can be quite
quirky,
if you like, in my ways. I'm not good. Yeah. But it is. It's funny that you realise that that is all that, and actually, that's where we've all been going wrong, myself included. Again, all up here in the mind, and thinking I've got to control everything and do. I've got to fix. And then having that now understanding of actually, no, Karen, you're getting it all wrong.
Yeah.
Chill, sit yourself down, breathe, relax, and become more heart-centered. So that is obviously the feminine energy.
Yeah, less about control and more about just kind of appreciating yourself for yourself, I guess. And that's it. That's important, you know. It's really important. And then
we've just been brought up to, you know, it's well, again, this is possibly maybe a British thing, you know, stiff upper lip, and, you know, we don't show our feelings, and
right, yeah.
And you know, that's being quite selfish if you were to get all emotional, or it's quite, you know, if you're going to take time out to, you know, I think women have been and men, you know, been taught that, what, you know, to take time out to do a bit of self-care, that's a bit selfish, you know, you come last. You know, everybody else comes first and you come last.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost made to feel guilty for taking time out. You know, there is that. And I still struggle with that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
They run deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially being here with my family. I mean, you know, it's the ideals, I guess that's the right word, that I grew up with are always present. And so to hold a different.
Yeah, line. Sure. And what's the difference there with this, you know, with your slightly different outlook now?
Yeah.
And how does that go? How are your family?
I think there's a way that there are some ideas they get through, and there are other ones they just tolerate me. You know?
That's okay. I'm sure my kids just look at me and sometimes just think.
And, you know, there's a lot of love in that.
I know they love me. I'm sure they think I'm a bit loopy, but some things they get.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, you know, we were talking about the, like, you made your decision throughout COVID, and I actually resorted back into that, as in the beginning of COVID over here, I had the telly on, and I don't know about over there, but every day here on the news they'd be giving you numbers and
I'd
have it on, and bless them, so they had been listening.
Uh-huh.
They came into the room one day and said, "Mom, you know, you told us that you shouldn't watch the news because it's negative." And I'd be sat there going, "Yeah, but," like, as in, "Yeah, but this time." And it was a real shock to the system to be like, "Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, my goodness, I got caught up. I got really caught up in the whole story." And then my eldest daughter moved away with her boyfriend throughout the COVID. And then that Christmas, they came up just before they weren't allowed to. And the bulb went in the TV. So this is 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Do you know what? No, I'm not going to get another telly."
Yeah.
Best decision. What a difference. What a massive difference. But how funny that, well, so, you know, they might, you know, joke about me or, you know, have fun with me about my funny little ways. But actually, they were listening. Because for them to then come to me and teach me or remind me, "Mom, what are you doing?" Because they could obviously see my energy dropping.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could see what was going on. So hopefully they, you know, maybe they do.
I think so. I really do think so. I think about it from time to time, and it's like you're holding a new idea that they might not, it, that but for you, they might not have even considered.
Yeah.
And that's big, you know?
Yeah. And then sometimes it could just take somebody else, maybe more their age, that isn't mum, mm-hmm. to say something sort of similar. And again, like, you know, like you said, we need to hear this stuff, you know,
multiple times.
I feel like I've been studying it for years, and I still more recently realise that, oh, I thought I had it, but oh, now I have it. And then I drift off and come back and drift off and come back. And it's just this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get there in the end. We'll get there in the end.
Yeah, this is a constant. It's like a kaleidoscope. It's constantly changing and becoming clearer and fuzzy.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Clearer. You say that. I mean, I love that. The word clarity is, for me, that's pretty big, because it is. It's like you say, when you said yesterday you were, you know, you were okay, right, in the zone, work zone, and getting things done. But if you didn't have clarity on what you needed to do,
yeah,
you could have been sat there for hours actually doing nothing. If you're anything like me, that's what,
that's
what I could tend to do. Whereas when I have complete clarity on what needs to be done, it just
moves.
Flows and gets done. Why do we make things so hard for ourselves? I overcomplicate things a lot, which I'm working on. Simplify.
Yeah, I think there's some idea that the hard work will be rewarded in some way.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing less than that, it's not going to be enough. And that's a wicked one to unwind, you know. To
this takes practice, I suppose. I think I'm getting it. I thought, well, some days I get it, and then other days can trigger me.
Yeah,
you know, and I fall into it. So, but I suppose that's what we're all here to do. So, for any of the listeners who are interested to find out more about this soul song,
The soul song. So what you can do is, the book is available on Amazon.
You kept that one quiet. So you've written a book.
Oh, yes. Well, the...
Oh, the children's book. The children's book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is a novel I'm working on, and there are multiple, there's at least three ideas for more children's books. So there will be more.
That's what you've decided is going to be your focus now, is that?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it'll be this creation of the art from the the soul song reading. And I have an idea to, this is what came to me last night, is to do it like as an art project for a city, you know, particularly Birmingham. Oh. I think it could be really, really, it could
that's,
be. Really
that's got to be the way forward. We've got to get back into communities, isn't it?
And yeah.
Again, I sort of, my perception of New York is a similar-ish to London. It can be very, everybody's, you know, you could, might not know your neighbours, you know, you could live somewhere for years and not know, because everyone, it's everyone's on the, in the rat race. So they're.
Yeah, that could be true. You know, New York changes quickly, and I wonder if that's still true with COVID, with everyone being indoors with COVID. I wonder if that changed. But there are certainly pockets of communities, and my pocket, I did have the good fortune to have great neighbors in Harlem. But then also I had my colleagues too, you know, who I spent a lot of time with. But there is something to creating community and like.
Yeah, how cool something, is that?
Something.
So your book is on Amazon. What's it called again? Sorry for the listeners.
Duma's Song is the name of the book, Duma's Song. And it's about a little boy named Duma who learns his song, who his mother, you know, teaches him his song, and the community teaches him. And then it moves on from there. And then he, you know, they might all forget, and then something might happen. But, it's a good book. Yeah. It's in hardcover on Barnes & Noble. I couldn't do the hardcover on Amazon because they need 75 pages, and this book is not 75 pages long. So, but the hard copy really came out beautifully on barnesandnoble.com. So order it there. And then if you're interested in doing a class on your own, you know, learning about your own soul song and like really delving into that more deeply, then you can go to my personal website, which is jennylewiscoaching.com. And there you can learn more about the classes. You can read my newsletters, you know, get on the mailing list there. And then you can always email me, jenny@jennylewiscoaching.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Fantastic. So how do you feel now that it's sort of all come together? It sounds like it's all come together now. You're clear on the way forward, although, you know, it could change, you know. It could.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's
changes, but you're happy where you're at right now, and
yeah, you know, it feels really good. It feels really good to have made it this far. I mean, there's still a lot of grind and learning, just as you said. But when I look back on wow, you know, it's like wow, yeah, I've really, and looking at the divinity of each turn. That was really difficult, and the time that I made it was really quite supportive and like bountiful in a way. There's so much I wouldn't imagine if I was still in New York right now. I'd be dust. I'd be so burnt out because, you know, there was nothing feeding my soul from that position anymore. You know, there was a time when it did, but you can imagine if I had continued to grind out there for another 5-7 years, you know, since I have left, it really would have taken a lot of life force, you know, and I would have been pretty flat, you know.
Right.
So
do you think that's sort of, you know, one of the causes, if you like, of, you know, yeah, I mean, again, I'm making the connection, you know, the synergistic links between London and New York. You know, we sort of, you know, it's almost sort of known that, you know, the city boys are only going to last until, you know, I don't know, mid-30s really, because until burnout kicks in, because you can't keep up with that lifestyle forever, right?
Right. Yeah. It's almost like running on one gear is how I see it. You know, and you just spin it, and then it just burns out, you know. But the life as I've been guided to lead it, it requires all of me, you know. So
we're in balance. It all seems to come back to finding that balance, which I think everybody wants. Obviously everybody wants. That's what we all want. But it's interesting that I just think that so many people don't. I mean, obviously, none of us do. None of us want to self-harm, you know, knowingly. Doing this stuff to ourselves, it's all obviously unconscious until we're made aware of it. Can you remember what triggered your awareness to this back in New York?
I think it was happening for when I really look back at it. It was happening. It was in play for years, you know, little things. Like I was a project manager for a long time in helping build a tech department. And then I was promoted to manager. I never asked to be promoted to manager. I was very good at what I was doing. And I think that certainly was a catalyst. Wow. Because then I had to, and I think a lot of my work and I think the next phase for me even is I had to be with people, because a lot of my life then was very controlled and I would interact in certain ways, you know, very good at doing it in work in particular ways. But anytime it had to be like a deeper emotional connection, you know, I had a lot of guards up. And so I think a lot of this whole journey for me has been about feeling a sense of safety in the world again, and also trusting myself in relationship with whoever.
Well, I suppose that's what life is, isn't it? Relationships, whether it's relationships with your siblings, your partner, your work colleagues, your whatever. That's what we do, or what we should be doing.
So I think that's, you know, the triggers were many that actually woke me up.
It's funny, isn't it? We just why don't we? I mean, you know, I'm saying, oh man, the universe was trying, it was knocking. I've got to do this and I've got to do that.
There's a piece that came to me, and let me say it before it flies off, is you know, when I was thinking about this the other day, when I think back to me in New York, when I realized this path was changing, there was a part of my ego that was like, and this goes to your point about why people have some resistance. There's a piece of my ego that's like, go for it, because it's going to be great. You're going to take over the world and be everybody's hero and all of that. And that was what drove me for a lot of the time. But it really, you can get to a place where it really isn't, you're not the hero anymore. You're actually like very different from the people who look very good, you know, and are doing all the right things and have all the right money and all the fancy stuff. And that's actually when I went to LA, I got a lot of fancy things and wanted to look like fancy. And this life is not about that. And so it can be those big turns and coming back to Alabama and, you know, all the struggles that I've had with money along the way. It can be, it does not look like what my ego thought it would. And so my ego is kind of dying away, and something else more trusting is coming in. And that can get hard. And that, you know, on those turns, it can be like, I'm going back in, you know, I'm going back to the regular life, because I don't know what's out here or even where my value is.
Unknown. Again, we're so afraid of the unknown. It's so weird. I mean, it is, I get it. It's, Yeah, the ego and...
And that's real. That's just real, and you have to just...
Well, we're human, aren't we? We are part ego. I mean, I suppose, again, in a way, your ego served you at that time to get you to the next place. So it's not that we've got to completely lose our ego. It means that we just need to...
Well, it's, yeah, it's like, or even maybe just ride it out, you know? Another part of the feminine is like, let that shadow ride you out until you're just like, oh my God, that's probably not going to work anymore, you know? So.
I suppose, you know, in some ways, and I think, well, all in the right time, I wasn't ready to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's all a learning curve. You know, I'm sure some people would have learned a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to hit the right time.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how to have joy in those moments, you know, or something, you know, or enjoy the big. And I think it's coming. I do have a lot of joy. We got a lot of laughs in just talking about it in this time. But ultimately.
And I suppose that's it, isn't it? It's just, it is a. Accept what is. I love that saying, it is what it is. And some of my friends can't stop. They're like, oh, I hate that saying. I go, I love it. It is what it is. If we don't accept it, we're not going to get more. It's just like, oh, and it's a lot easier. Oh my goodness. I don't know why we think everything's got to be such hard work. Again, that it goes back to the, we've been conditioned that way, and actually it doesn't have to be that we make it. It's as hard as we make it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right, as long as hard as we think it should be.
Yeah. Oh man, why didn't somebody tell me earlier? I'm getting there. Well, I feel like I'm getting there. We're all on the journey, right?
But we get together.
Well, soul song, I think that's absolutely so it sounds like you really are on purpose, you are all in alignment with what, you know, you're here to do, if there is anything, you know. I'm in two minds about that. Is there one thing that we're meant to do? Is there anything such thing as meant to do, or are we just here to experience the...
That's a beautiful question. I don't know the answer to that. It might be a little of both. I don't know. You know, I don't.
Do what makes you happy, I suppose. Do what makes you happy.
I suspect it's both of those. Yeah.
Well, it's lovely, lovely speaking to you, Jenny.
Yeah.
From a long way away from here. But you were in England. You've been over this way. I've never been to the States.
Uh-huh.
I was supposed to go in 2020. And, of course, we all know what happened.
Yeah.
So I'll get there at some point. Yeah. If we're still allowed to travel by the time we get
there. Yeah.
Can't get in the car, can I?
Yeah. We're not so far apart. It feels like we're like... sitting, you're like in my living room with me, you know, having a chat. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time. So to the listeners, once again, well, if you're watching this on YouTube or the blog, all different ways to communicate, to connect with Jenny will be below. And to the listeners, obviously, look out for that book. Go to Amazon. Go to what was the other company?
Go to the website, JennyLewisCoaching.com. And just
JennyLewisCoaching.com. Awesome. Yeah. So, find out what your soul song is. So thanks again for your time. To the listeners. Obviously, I will be back next week with a coffee with Karen. And I know we're getting more into the woo-woo stuff, but like I say, it is all woo-woo, just dressed up as the mental or the physical. So there we go. Bye for now.
Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast. a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs, from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a spritz.